kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I'm alive. I'm okay. I had a rough day, man. My one of my dogs had a seizure in the middle of the night last night.
Oh, no.
And he's fine now. He does it every so often. He's always had a problem with seizures. But he usually there's like a trigger, something will scare him and he'll like flop over and have a seizure. I don't know what caused last night. I have no fucking idea. And I don't know, but he had a really severe one last night. And so I'm running on about 4 hours. I slept on the couch with our other dog so that he wouldn't be bothering Donovan. And David kept Donovan in the room alone, and it was just a matter of like trying to keep him chill and relaxed so he'd be okay. He's doing better today. He's been up, he's barked, he's mobile, he's not quite as peppy as he usually is for a Dalmatian, but he is mobile and on the mend. But
that's good.
Hopefully he doesn't have another one for a while. It's rare for him to pop two like in close succession. Like it's something that might happen every 6 or 8 months, but he had one on Thanksgiving as well because we didn't know that David's dumbass nephew and his girlfriend, who is clearly also a dumbass, decided to get one of those gender reveal things that you shoot and it explodes in the color. And they did that. And they didn't warn us they were going to do that. And that explosion shook the house. And poof, as soon as it went off, Donovan hit the floor. Just jeez. Seizure. And we weren't prepared for that. So for him to have two this close together has got us a little worried. But he does seem to be on the mend and doing better.
We have to talk about happier things. Unfortunately, yeah. Jacob's here.
Fuck. They kind of just...
Oh, damn it. I mean, you know, you are allowed to fire me.
Nah, I'm too lazy.
That's not existent.
Then we'd have to find somebody else for HR.
We decided you're HR last episode. It's either you or Aki.
Oh, nice. All right.
Aki is the one always being sent to HR, so she's not an ideal candidate.
I mean, does she have degrees in business or any degrees?
I don't think so. Like psychology.
Oh man, so she's definitely overqualified for the HR position. Damn it!
I think we're all underqualified for doing this podcast in general. So having that's one person fair. Overqualified for anything kind of evens.
I went to school for veterinary medicine. I know exactly what I'm doing here.
How does that help with podcasting? Exactly.
I can tell you about if we ever. I don't know why they make you do horticulture when you go for veterinary medicine. So I can tell you about trees and plants.
I mean, if they ever do like a Pokemon game where you work at a Pokemon center, I mean, Cole probably has a good idea of what's going on.
There is a reason I do really well with games like Ooblets and Stardew Valley.
True. Very true. Speaking of Stardew Valley.
Speaking of Ooblets, it's on sale on the Epic Store for $10 right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you absolutely should pick it up if you don't have it.
That doesn't qualify for using the coupon, though, does it?
It does. That's with the coupon. Yeah.
Oh, that's with the coupon.
It's currently 20% off, and then it uses the $10 coupon, and you get it for $10.
Nice.
Yeah.
That works.
Can I just make a side note right now?
Sure.
Like, I'm just, like, listening to everyone right now, and I'm just like, huh, everyone's coming in so crisp and clear. I should put on this headset more often.
Good Lord.
You dickhead. You gigantic dickhead. You've had that headset for how fucking long?
probably 3 years now.
You dickhead. Oh my god. So anyway, Jacob, did you get any snow down your way?
Like 4 to 6 inches, I think.
Oh, that's Nothing major. Bad.
Yeah.
We got a foot and a half.
I mean,
I'm a little jealous.
A lot of it's like hard snow, so like it's going to be a bitch when it freezes. But
oh god, yeah.
Luckily, our neighbor was out using his snowplow. We were like, "Hey, how much would it cost to do our driveway?" And he's just like, "Oh, well, I charge by the minute. You're probably looking at like $50." And we're like, "Cool,
oh my god." Hey. Yeah, we just got like a dusting. Like it started flurrying maybe 2 hours ago.
Damn.
And you're like, oh yeah, hey, every now and then you look out and you see a snowflake. I'm a little jealous because I don't mind if we get like Christmas snow. after Christmas, snow has to fuck off. I don't want to see that shit. From December 5th. I don't think 5th,
that's how it works.
Yeah, well, that's look, not how it works it at should all. Work.
From December 5th to December 26th, snow is great. After that, it all just needs to like get the fuck out of here. Like, but yeah, we've offended just
all of our Russian listeners.
What we have any of those?
I don't know. I read the other day that apparently over in Russia, it's considered uncouth to bitch about like extreme cold and heavy snow because apparently like that's what saved the country like twice in major wars. So
basically, yeah.
Nowadays, it's just like you just don't bitch about it. You're thankful for it, and I'm just like. Huh. That makes
Praise
sense.
The snow.
And cold.
Yes.
It hey, stops I'll those Germans from advancing.
I'll take snow over 100 degree weather any day of the week.
Yes.
Absolutely. I hate the heat.
I would rather tolerate. I'd turn on an air conditioner, eat a popsicle, I'm fine. But the cold is harder on my arthritis. It makes it flare up more. Which is kind of a good thing that we're going on hiatus, because for like the next month, I'm just going to be like laying on the couch going, because it hurts.
Isn't that what you do already?
Yeah.
Basically, but I'm going to do it even more because I won't have to get off the couch to come on here and bitch about how I'm hurt. And I can just keep laying on the couch going, for an extra
just
six set to
the
eight
mic
hours
up near your couch, set the microphone up and just lay there.
I have to move the whole computer. Like, I don't have a laptop.
Bitch, Jesus, woman.
Do you know how big my computer is? Dude, my computer is in a steel case.
That bitch whose fault is that? Heavy.
A little bit mine, because I was like, boy, I really want that case. And Ruby was like, okay. So, you know.
So, yeah, you only have yourself to blame.
Yeah, it was on sale, too. It's like a $250 case, and I got it for like $60.
Or just get a headset and use your phone and talk that way.
What do I look like? Jacob?
Yeah.
I would hope not.
Pernell didn't even use a headset.
I don't know.
Pernell's quality is good, though. Like, his phone quality is really good. I'm amazed at how good his phone quality is.
Yeah.
What does he have?
I don't know.
Oh, you need to find out next episode.
And then I think he tried using a newer phone, and it, like, there was a lot of interference and hiss, and it just sounded like shit. So, yeah.
That was a good story.
It was. We should talk about news.
Yeah.
A lot of news this week. I think the big story going on is that Cyberpunk finally launched last week, and shit immediately went sour.
Oh my god, what a surprise.
Yeah. If you weren't playing on PC or on a next-gen console, performance was dog shit. And IGN actually gave the console version of the game a 4 out of 10.
Wow. Wait, for past gen or current gen?
Well, it's only available on Xbox One and PS4. The current, like, the new gen versions aren't out yet.
Oh, whoa.
So there's only Seriously? The one version of the game.
Oh, yikes. Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not technically enhanced.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's still just a plain-ass Xbox One game on my system. It doesn't have any kind of enhanced logo or...
I think April or something like that was when they were expecting it. March or April was expecting
it. What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Which so I think the game as a whole probably should have been delayed to March or April.
They should. I've read a few people talking about it, and they're just like, this should have been delayed till summertime. Like, because it still needs like 6 months worth of polish.
Yeah.
Which is just.
Xbox yikes. Got a new console exclusive out of it, though.
What do you
mean? Can't buy it on PlayStation. They delisted it.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's why you can't get refunds anymore. Okay. Joe, I didn't know if you were about to bring that up, too.
Wow. Sony did delist Cyberpunk. That is crazy. And Sony will offer refunds to all purchases.
Wow. Yikes.
That is crazy. I did not hear that news. That is pretty crazy.
Hey, you're welcome. Damn.
Wow.
So, yeah. Fucking Cyberpunk.
All right. Well, good thing I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to wait till the inevitable Game of the Year edition.
At this point, who knows if it's going to win any Game of the Year editions?
Oh, it doesn't have to. It's just, they'll just call it the complete edition or whatever. Yeah,
my Two Worlds 2 Game of the Year edition proves that you don't need to be a Game of the Year to get a Game of the Year edition.
I didn't know that they released one for that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was actually just thinking of Two Worlds, probably because I was over at your house the other day.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Two Worlds 2, and it was like, because I remember like, oh, I need to pick that up, and that was like 10 years ago, and I never have. I just, yeah.
Yeah. But Cyberpunk, that's, have either of you played Cyberpunk yet?
I have not. David wants it, but at the rate it's going, I might not be able to purchase it for him. I was like, oh, I'll get it for him after Christmas. And now I'm like, oof.
I have not had a chance to play it yet. I shockingly, my delivery was late. I know that's going to blow everyone's mind. I had an issue getting a game on time.
Oh my God.
It was supposed to be here on Thursday. It didn't show up until Tuesday, and I gave up on Saturday and bought it digital. So I ended up selling. I ended up selling the physical version because I didn't want to just return it because it came with the Best Buy Steelbook, and they would want that back, and I didn't want to give that up. So I just sold.
Did you get Yakuza anyway?
This is for Cyberpunk.
No. Like the Steelbook.
With Yakuza?
Didn't they like send you the wrong? Didn't they send you the wrong steelbook?
No.
Oh. I could have sworn I saw a post about you and somebody else like trying to find out if somebody wanted to trade steelbooks.
I know Aki wasn't happy with her steelbook, but I got the same one she did, so.
Oh, I don't fucking know what I read then.
I don't know. You're drunk.
Actually, I'm stone cold sober right now. I actually have water right next to me.
That is a shame.
So far.
No, it's just water. I'm not Jesus. I'm not going to turn this into wine, or am I?
Ooh.
Nope, still water.
Oh, well. So, more news. New Nintendo Switch Online games are coming December 18th. The NES is getting Nightshade. Cool. Yeah. And then Super Nintendo is getting Tough Enough, Super Valis 4, The Ignition Factor, so there's three hard-hitting big titles right there, right?
I've never heard of any of those.
Exactly. At least they finished up with Donkey Kong Country 3, Dixie Kong's Double Trouble. So there's one headliner game and then a bunch of shit.
Well, are they actually shit, or is it just you haven't heard of it?
It might be good.
That's how you really feel about them.
I miss the virtual console. I miss when Nintendo would release new games every week and we wouldn't get five games every other month. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I would rather drop the $5 on a game and own it than have this subscription thing that's filled with games I don't really care about.
That's a reasonable way to feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Some more news. Among Us surprise launched on the Switch this week with full crossplay.
Mm-hmm. But also Game Pass for PC.
Yes, and Game Pass for PC. And it was announced that it's coming to Xbox next year and will be part of Game Pass.
The whole communication thread there between Xbox and Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass and Among Us on Twitter was gold.
I didn't see it all.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. They were like, you know, happy to see you here. And they were like, but why do you have that knife? And it was like, you know, just come to electrical with me. And they were like, no, I need to go to the cafeteria first. And then put the GIF for the emergency meeting. It was so good.
Nice.
I giggled. I do get a little annoyed though, because I literally just bought Among Us on Steam for the kids like 2 weeks ago. I was like, I fucking know better. The whole time I was doing it, I was like, I know what I'm doing and I know I'm going to regret it. And then I did it anyway. And here we fucking are.
And now it's on Game Pass.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah. The crossplay thing is good though.
Yeah.
It is very good. That.
I'm just waiting for the kids to be like, can we have it on Switch too?
You gonna buy it for him?
Probably.
Oh man, some crazy news came in. Remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Take-Two buying Codemasters?
Yep.
Take-Two is not buying Codemasters.
Nope.
EA is buying Codemasters.
Yep.
Yeah, Codemasters originally had agreed to an $870 million offer from Take-Two. But EA came in with a last-minute bid of $1.2 billion to end up buying Codemasters.
Goddamn.
Yeah. So Codemasters is going to EA, the F1 series, Dirt series. It's all going to be under the EA banner now.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that that would be allowed to fly. Like, that wouldn't get stopped on antitrust.
Why?
Because it takes away the competition from Need for Speed.
But there's still other racing developers out there. It's not like Codemasters was the only one.
But they're the other one that actually stands a chance at having a title against
Need for Speed. Milestone?
Yeah, but those are like super racing sims and stuff like that. That's not the kind of stuff that EA really touches.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really what Codemasters did either. Codemasters focused on like the F1 games, you know, Dirt.
Dude, the F1 games
was more of a rally game originally.
I don't know. I mean, it's just like I view the F1 series as like one of those simulation kind of titles. But the thing is that all EA is going to do is just let all these properties languish because that's what they do. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they will. I think they're going to let Codemasters keep churning out the games that they churn out every year. I don't think EA is going to fuck with them that much.
You have too much hope for EA.
I do have hope.
Listening to yourself, do you know what company you're talking about?
I do, but I also know that Codemasters is a well-established, well-oiled machine that, you know, regularly puts out new games, and I really don't think EA is going to fuck with it that much.
What was the name of that company?
Have you forgotten Respawn?
What with Apex and Titanfall and Jedi, all really well received games. Respawn's doing pretty good.
Yeah, but it's also making a bunch of stuff that EA tells it to make.
Yeah,
like I mean, it handed over like the Star Wars license to them to make that game. I mean, it's just. EA's just going to suck it dry until it's no longer anything like what it used to be. And then, you know, they'll cast it aside, shutter it, and then they'll just let these properties sit around and just do nothing. I mean, when's the last time we had a Wing Commander game? Like, how many of those PopCap games, like, are still in existence? I mean, it's just...
True.
I'm disappointed.
There's always the potential to be proven wrong. I'm just trying to be optimistic
on this one.
This is where you and I like are swapping spots because I'm the queen of optimism. But as soon as you throw an EA card down, I'm like, whoop, I'm out.
See, but then you compare it to Take-Two, and I think EA is the better option than Take-Two.
Well, yeah, because they got more money to do the same exact thing. I mean, at the same time, I mean, like, let's be honest, would Take-Two really have done anything? I mean, when's the last time we got a Midnight Club game? I mean,
yeah, look at Rockstar. They don't do shit anymore.
Yeah,
that's Grand under Theft Auto 2
and Red Dead. That's it.
And that's under the Take-Two banner. So I wouldn't expect things to go well under Take Two for Codemasters. I honestly think the EA is a better fit for them. I think EA is going to let them go and do their own thing more than Take Two would have. I think it's just a better move overall.
I don't know. I guess it's just one of those we'll have to see kind of things, but
I just see it as a frying pan and a fart, and they're both going to hurt. But I don't know. I'm welcome to be wrong.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Look, for all we know, someone else might come along last second and throw another bid on there.
Microsoft be like, hey, you want to be bought up, huh?
What's up, bitches? We could use another racing studio.
We got that money, honey.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, that would be interesting if they did, because, I mean, it's just like, other than Forza, you know, what else does Microsoft do in terms of racing? So,
Then again, if we're going to get down to that, I think PlayStation would be a good acquisition for Codemasters, because PlayStation on the racing side of things, they haven't been doing well for years.
Well, yeah.
Drive Club was a pretty big failure. Gran Turismo hasn't done much of anything of worth in years. So, you know, anyone could come in and buy them. Oh, God. Well, that's Namco anyway.
Oh, shut up. But still, I really just wanted to say Ridge Racer.
Yeah, I can tell. So anyway, since we're talking about EA Play's arrival to PC Game Pass was bumped to 2021 sometime. The wonderful news is it was delayed the day it was set to release.
Whoops.
So what the hell happened?
I wonder if there was some kind of hiccup with the back end of making it all work.
Yeah, someone's wondering if there was some kind of security flaw somewhere.
Yeah. There had to be something big for them to gank that.
To do it last second when they had promotion out already, talking about, like, people were posting Reddit ads where it's like, available now, EA Play on Game Pass, PC.
And to
have all that stuff out and ready to go and then last second delay it to just a general 2021, not even January, February, it's just 2021.
Maybe they just want to leave their options open. I mean, if they were expecting it to be ready this soon, until Donovan's feeling better. if they were expecting it to be ready this soon, then they may not want to say, oh, March or April, when it might actually just be ready in January sometime.
No.
So I guess it depends on how severe and how timely it is to fix whatever warped at the end there.
Yeah. But it's kind of a bummer to see that delayed last second like that.
I wonder if it had anything to do with that. Wasn't there like a big security breach thing? I don't follow software tech enough to be like knowledgeable about this conversation. there was like,
I mean, Capcom had one recently.
It was Solar Wind breach thingy that was going on.
I'm sorry, what?
There was a software company called Solar Winds, and they were being hacked, and like Microsoft had to like full on shut shit down. And
yeah, I wonder if
maybe that had something to do with it. It's just that I'm not like, I don't keep up with it, so I'm not knowledgeable enough to know.
You're also on drugs.
I haven't had my medication yet tonight. Thank you very motherfucking much.
Oh my God. It lasts from the afternoon to this point in the day? Jeez, Cole.
No, it doesn't last. I didn't say I wasn't hurting. It's just that I wasn't on it yet. There's a difference between I'm not in pain and...
So you can't blame the meds for all your fuck-ups tonight?
No, it's just I exist.
Natural.
If I fuck up, it's because I exist. Might be the lack of meds that results in it.
There you go. Koei Tecmo filed a new trademark for Ninja Gaiden on December 3rd. Jacob, any excitement there?
I mean, that's cool. I didn't hear about it.
That's basically all the information I have is that they filed a new trademark. I don't know if it's just like renewing it to protect their property or if they have something in mind that they're going to do with it. It'd be nice to see some more Ninja Gaiden games come out.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. It's been a while. So, but yeah. Hold on, please.
Well, what are your thoughts on Ninja Gaiden?
Maybe they're going to do some big ass collector's edition or a remaster or some shit. Be like, ta-da! Surprise, here's all the Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
Gaiden, I don't know.
Gaiden, Gaiden, I don't know, whatever. Flip a coin.
Sorry about that, Sam. Sam was up.
What's going on your end?
Oh, my kid decided to interrupt because he had to use the bathroom.
Ah.
Because I don't know how the two are related, but, you know.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And he knows where the bathroom is.
So there was no need to interrupt.
No, I had to pop out.
Kids.
Yeah.
Ah, man. Cole, did you keep up with the whole issue going on with the game Devotion?
No.
No, Jacob, have you kept up with this one?
Yeah, so it was supposed to have been, or wait, are you talking about like way back or the recent development?
The recent development.
Yeah, it was supposed to have debuted on Good Old Games. And it was like the day of, all of a sudden, they're just like, oh, you know, we're just not going to release it. And I know that there's been a couple of other indie titles that have also been like, well, if they're not going to release it, we're just not going to be on Good Old Games. So
no,
that's all up in the air right now.
I know the whole situation stems to some kind of Easter egg involving China and Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, because their current prime minister, people have nicknamed him as Winnie the Pooh. Because apparently they think he looks... Yeah, they think he looks like him, but... He also really hates it.
And John Oliver's done some good segments on that.
Yeah. And so that's why the game is like not available for sale anywhere. And so everyone's seeing Good Old Games as just like doing this because they want all that China money. Although are they even available over there?
I don't know.
Like, yeah. So
that's just craziness. Last bit of news that I have is that Sephiroth is arriving for Smash Ultimate on December 22nd, though players can earn early access to him by completing an in-game boss challenge. That's going on, I believe, now. So if you fire up Smash Ultimate, you might be able to get Sephiroth for free as long as you've pre-ordered the character pass or you bought that character pack. Either way, Sephiroth is coming, and in addition to the two music tracks already in the game with Cloud, Challenger Pack 8 is adding 9 new music tracks to the game, thank God, bringing the total Final Fantasy music tracks to 11. There's also going to be special spirit board spirits and inspired by Final Fantasy with like Tifa and Barrett and shit like that. So a lot of good Final Fantasy stuff coming to Smash Brothers on the 22nd.
One of my friends is pitching a fit about it, though. Specifically the music, because apparently some of the music tracks are ripped from Advent Children and not the original game. Mm. So, but at the same time, my said friend also like pitches a fit about just about anything that he, you know, doesn't like. So,
yeah. Hey, I'm just glad that they have more than 2 songs this time. Because Cloud only came with 2 songs. That was it. So the fact that Sephiroth is coming with 9 new ones is definitely good news.
How many do DLC characters typically come with?
It depends on the character. Some of them come with like 5-6 songs. Others have come with like 15.
Oh, okay.
It depends on the character. It depends on the game series. It depends on what licensing is approved. You know, some characters come with a lot more than others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's the news I got. Anything on your end that either of you want to talk about?
No, I already brought up Cyberpunk being delisted, so that's all I had.
I actually have nothing.
Really? No obscure movie news that you want to talk about?
I don't know. Are you referencing something on...
No. I figured you would have something.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even remember the articles that I've posted to the page as of late. So, I mean, the only thing I can pull out of my ass immediately is Sonic the Hedgehog is getting a limited edition Blu-ray re-release that's coming out soon.
Why?
It's money.
Yeah.
As far as I know, the only changes are the packaging, and it comes with 5 trading cards. Ooh. I don't know if there's like extras with it or something like that, but oh yeah, the Mortal Kombat movie got pushed back to April again. Trailer won't be till the new year. And yeah, that's all the news I had.
All right. Well, should we dive into reviews then? There's not too many tonight, so we can get through this pretty quick. Jacob, you good?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, because you're up first. First game to talk about is Solitaire 3D, developed and published by Grass Games. It's releasing December 23rd on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $19.99. Enjoy over 100 different Solitaire games, including all of your favorites, Spider Pyramid, Free Cell, Klondike, Tri-Peaks, multiple card decks, including the unique four-color card deck, online high scores, statistics, and much more. Jacob, there's not much to say about this game, but tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Joe, actually, do you want to go into the fun story about the review keys right now?
The review keys we got are borked. I don't know what goes on with how Microsoft does their keys, but the keys worked fine before the game went live for pre-order. And as soon as it went up for pre-order, all the keys were broken. So the only person who actually has access to the game is me.
Well, and whoever else downloaded it before that date, is anybody else.
None of you did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So funnily enough, actually, I think I've actually figured out what happened. So last night I was playing something and all of a sudden I got this notification on my Xbox that, hey, you know, you have a pre-order that's coming up. You know, you need to make sure that like your bank number, like your bank card that's on file is, you know, up to date and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, what? Like, what did I pre-order? And Jess is just like, yes, Jacob, what did you pre-order? Like, oh, she's sitting on the couch with me. And I'm like, hun, I don't know. Like, and she's like, you better find out. And I'm just like, racing through all my games trying to figure out like what the heck I pre-ordered. Like, did my account get hacked or whatever? And I was just like, oh, wait a second, I got one game that's coming up. It might be the Solitaire game. And she's like, you pre-ordered a Solitaire game. And I'm like, no, it's gonna unlock soon. And she's just like, you put money down for a Solitaire game. And I'm just like, just give me a chance, hon. And lo and behold, so Joe, like when I was over at his house last week, Joe did give me a key for the Solitaire game because eventually it's going to unlock. So it turns out it's actually listed as a pre-order on my Xbox.
Yeah.
So
but you can't play it yet.
Right. That's... So all those review codes apparently got turned into pre-order codes.
No, you got a different batch of codes. We actually got two sets of codes in pre-order unlocks, which are borked, and then actual game release keys, which is what you have, that you can redeem the key, but you can't play it until release date.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that stinks.
We don't need to talk about all that dumb shit. We got to talk about the actual game here. People right. laughing that you might drop money on a Solitaire game, but there is a lot here.
Yeah, They're like legit is. And so I was over at your house and like we were looking through it and it's got like what? It's got like, I mean, at least 25, 30 different versions. Plus there's like deluxe versions or like plus versions with like added rules and stuff like that in. So, I mean, it's just like if you're honestly a fan of Solitaire and all it comes in with, there's a lot of cool stuff in this game. I mean, like a lot of different varieties. And it's just
100 games, 100 different Solitaire games. It's ridiculous how many are there.
Okay. That's more than I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was a lot, but I didn't know it was that much.
I mean, you could have listened to me when I was doing the introduction.
No, Joe, I'd never listened to these introductions ever.
There's usually good information in there.
Yeah, I know that there's good information, but that's not how I operate. Anyway, what I thought was really interesting is that like you had warned me ahead of time that you were like, well, like the interface is a little bit ass. Like it plays okay, but it doesn't make sense. It's definitely
a clunky game on Xbox.
And that's the thing, because I was just like, this plays like it was on a PC or something like that, and I was just like, wait a second, is this one of those titles where you get it for Xbox and Windows 10 at the same time? And Joe looked it up, and it turns out you do.
Yes,
so
yes,
it's, you do. It's an Xbox Play Anywhere version, which explains why it is the way it is. And so, honestly, like, I mean, if you've got like a mouse and keyboard for your Xbox, I mean, you'll be golden with this thing. It's a tad clunky if you're using a controller, but the thing is that with the sheer amount of games on here, it's totally worth it. For all of those who, you know, are like 35 and older, you may remember Eric's Ultimate Solitaire on Mac way back in the day. Like, that was like the gold standard for solitaire games way back in the day, like mid-90s. And it was very reminiscent of that. So I honestly, I was pretty pleased with, you know, what I was playing with. Yeah.
And just, I mean, the sheer number of options in the game as well. It blows my mind what all you can do in this game in terms of like the camera. There's like different camera angles you can mess with. You can adjust the lighting for everything. On the PC version, you could import your own card backs. All of my cards have the SML logo on them.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you're the only one that's ever going to use that SML card back, but you know.
Yes, I am.
But yeah, and you were, Joe, we had briefly discussed pricing when we were over at your house. It's $20.
Yeah.
For the game, which
caught me off guard at first. $20 for a solitaire game on the surface is going to be a hard sell. But the amount of the sheer number of games in here to play, I think more than makes up for it. I will say, I wish they would have gone a different route with this. As much as people hate piecemealing things and like DLC and shit like that, I kind of wish it was a $10 game with half of the games and then a couple like DLC packs and then maybe a complete edition for $20. Just, I think it's a harder sell seeing that $20 price tag.
Yeah. I'll be honest saying, because at $20, I can't see anybody being like, oh shit, yeah, $20 for a solitaire game on my Xbox. Like, you know, it's already a hard sell. You know, it's like, oh, hey, you want to play, you know, you've got this $600 system. Do you want to play solitaire on it? So, you know, the $20 is, it is a bit of a hard pill to swallow. However, I still will say it's totally worth it. Mm-hmm. If you're a fan of solitaire, and as I said, like, you know, if you have memories of Eric's Ultimate Solitaire way back in the day, it's a lot like that. And I highly recommend it. You know, I kind of agree with your, like, for once, I'm not the cheap ass on this one.
Yeah, I guess I'm the cheap ass.
The thing is, I totally get where you're coming from on it, and I kind of agree with it. But at the same time, it's one of those things where it's just like, I know how much we used to pay, and I keep referencing Eric's Ultimate Solitaire, like, so sorry for that. But it's just like, I remember how much we paid for that back in 1995. And so like dropping 20 on this, yeah, like that's, you know, like, I think you had to pay like 30 for it back in the day. Yeah. Whatever. No, $20 is easily, and this is like, I think it's like 90 more versions of solitaire than what Eric's had back in the day. Come on. Yeah. No, this is a no brainer.
Trash rando asking, is there co-op? In solitaire. the $20 price tag honestly is going to be easier to swallow if you're a PC gamer more than an Xbox gamer, but still at the $20 price tag, I'm going to give it a recommended try. I think it's worth checking out. It's going to be overwhelming with how many different solitaire games are there that you can try, but there's tutorials for all of them. Some of them even have like video tutorials that you could check out. The achievement list is going to piss people off because it's going to take fucking forever for people to get all of the achievement. There's stuff like win 1,000 Klondike games.
Yeah. So, I mean, but again, remember, if you're playing this on your PC, that's nothing. Like, true. If you're playing it on your Xbox, it's going to be a pain in the dick.
Yeah.
Also, I would like to point out, by making this an Xbox and PC title, it's a good alternative to Microsoft Solitaire thing.
Yeah, especially because you don't have to pay a subscription or deal with ads.
Exactly.
You like, just that's pay the thing. For I mean, it like, and it's done.
It used to just come with your Windows machine. Now you have to pay a subscription for it if you want like all the bells and whistles and no ads. So $20 for this, and it's just that's how it is for the rest of the life of the game. Cool.
Hey, done, good, over and done with. $20.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think this is going to end up on any of our Game of the Year lists.
We'll find out next episode.
I mean, part of me is just like, you know what? Maybe it should.
Oh, man.
That's right, Cole. I'll now do it just to spite you. It's my Windows 10 Game of the Year.
Makes sense. All right. Well, I guess that's it for you, Jacob. Did you want to stick around, or are you going to...
Hey, gonna... deal with Cole? No.
Yeah.
I don't want to stick around. No.
You have any final words, then?
Also, no. So, have a good night, folks.
Good night. All right, let's move on. Next game to talk about is called Morkred, developed by Hyper Games, published by Aspyr. Released December 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC for $19.99, also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Morkred is a tense physics-based co-op puzzle game for 1 to 2 players, combining skill-based puzzle solving, a challenging balance of light and shadow, and a dark world full of secrets to unlock. Cole, tell us about Morkred.
So, what they tell you in the summary, as vague as it is pretty much all you get to know about the entirety of the game. even after finishing it, and I'm going to say finishing it because there's no way you're fucking completing that achievement list, I still couldn't tell you jack shit of what happened other than I was 2 shadowy characters, one that was decidedly quite male-looking, the other decidedly quite female-looking, although vague as they were, and they are moving a ball of light through a series of, I don't even know how to describe what the levels look like. Like, you start off and you're in sewers. So much of it is just pitch black because you only have the light of the ball that you're moving around to look around with.
Mm.
And it's physics-based, so you have to, if you're playing solo, you have to control both characters with one controller. So one character is tied to your left thumbstick and your left bumper. The other character is tied to your right thumbstick and your right bumper.
Oh, if no. You're I'm terrible at games like that.
If you're unfortunate enough to be like me and you swap them up, they are very kind enough to not force you to try to, like, imagine crossing the characters. They let you just stop and press A, and then it will switch which character is assigned to which button, or which side of your controller. That made it a little more manageable. When I first started playing the game, I was like, before I was even through the prologue, I was ready to just give up and cry. I was like, I'm stuck reviewing this game, and I'm not going to be able to do this, and what am I going to do? Somehow, by the grace of a God I don't even believe in, I managed to actually beat the whole game. It was hard. And I missed. Let me point this out. I beat the game by myself, and I have 4 achievements.
Wow.
4. It's like 80 out of 1,000.
Gee.
I'm so frustrated. Because there are hidden murals in each level that you have to find. And remember how I said everything is pitch black except for what you're moving that ball around. There's another hitch to that. You can't get in the shadows. If your characters step into the shadow, initially, like, there's a little bit of a, they slow down and there's like a sizzling sound, right? But once they're in it for a couple of seconds, poof, game over, done. If your characters both cast these insanely long pitch black shadows because they're pushing around this giant ball of light, right? If they cross each other's paths and get into each other's shadow, poof, gone. if you walk by and your shadow brushes against your other character, poof, gone. Do it over. Start again. I will say, thankfully, that the checkpoint system is very generous. And almost every obstacle you come across will have a checkpoint before it and immediately after it.
That's good.
If it was not for that, I would not have finished this game. I would have gave up the first level in, and I would have been bullshitting this review. Because it was tough with the checkpoints. I can't imagine without them. So thankfully they're there. They're frequent. And the game doesn't, other than forcing you back to the checkpoint, it doesn't really punish you for dying initially. Because if you want to actually complete the game, you have to do the whole thing without dying.
Oh, no.
Every level is tied to an achievement for doing that level without dying. Now, again, thankfully, they broke it down by level. So if you die on like the last level, it's not going to stop you from getting an achievement for beating the first level without dying. Thankfully, I'm not going to get any of this shit. I'm just putting it out there. I beat it and I was like, yep, I'm good. I'm done. I have no motivation to go and try and do it again and get the completion. For the experience I had as a one and done, sure. I will say I went to How Long to Beat and it said that people were beating the game in 2.5 hours. Either they were playing a co-op or they were lying sacks of shit. Because it took me about 6 hours to get through this game.
Well, it's possible that they were playing co-op.
It was insanely stressful. It was incredibly difficult. Just wrapping my head around the physics of moving. And then there are additional issues that will crop up where you have to deal like with these plants that will suck the light out of the ball. And if your ball runs out of light, then you got to start over at the checkpoint. Or if you pick up one of these little like crystal things, then you have an ability to actually walk as far out into the darkness as you want to, as long as you're holding on to that one crystal. But you may end up leaving your other character behind and then like the ball rolls off and they can't go get it, right? So there's a risk and reward to like trying to go and explore. And I just wasn't ballsy enough to try to do any of it. I was just like, this is hard and I just want to beat it and call it a day. And I think that's how most people are going to play the game, which is a bit of a shame.
I guess it's good that it's on Game Pass, though.
Yeah, it makes it a little more forgivable, right? Like, it's one of those that you can be like, yeah, I jumped into it and I got through it, but I don't have anything to show for it. If you're one of those people who are like hardcore achievement heads, I will say, at least they were saying that you could kind of dashboard scum it. And if you died, you could back out. You didn't even have to go all the way to the dashboard. You could just go back to the main menu and then reload and it would be at your checkpoint and you wouldn't have died. It's so hard. I don't even have the motivation to like cheese it. So, I mean, take, cause I'd be having to pause and restart like 17 times a section. And I just don't have the motivation for that.
No.
For an actual experience though, I thought it was pretty cool. It like played well. And the mechanics of being able to swap if my characters got on different sides of each other, it was a lot easier to just swap them and carry on with them on different sticks as opposed to trying to manage, oh, my right stick character walked over to the left side of the screen and I'm fucked, you know? So at least there were some mechanics to smooth things out. It's just that it was still a really difficult game.
Well, overall, $20, what do you think?
I'm going to go with a try it and try it on Game Pass before you try it. Okay? Like, download it and be like, yeah, this is cool. But if you are struggling on that first level, take that into consideration before you throw your $20 at it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, next game. I don't know how to pronounce this one.
I believe it's Gotia.
Gotia?
Gotia. Goetia? 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 Yeah, I've been saying Goetia, but Goetia may be it as well.
Goetia, like Moesha.
It's a it's apparently a demon summoning thing.
Okay, well, Goetia, developed by Sushi, published by Forever Entertainment, released December 18th on Xbox One for $9.99. I am Abigail Blackwood, recently risen from the grave. I know nothing about the last 40 years of my family's history, but obviously somebody is keen on seeing me lift the veil of what happened in Oakmarsh, what led to the downfall of Blackwood Manor, and it seems like I have no choice in the matter. Cole, tell us about this one.
You have no choice in the matter.
Okay, then.
I absolutely adored this game. It was a little tough to get started with it. It does play like a point and click. You do begin on a scene where there's nothing more than like a dead tree and a cross, and your little ghostly sprite is just floating there, and you're like, okay, well, here we are. this is what's happened. This is what we know. And you need to uncover what has happened to Abigail. We know that she died when she was 15. We learned very quickly that she fell out of a window to her death. But what has happened with her family and why the family home has fallen to ruin is all up to speculation. So you need to guide Abigail's spirit, who is just this little tiny whiff of light, from room to room and interact with different items. There are some quirks to her ghostliness, and that is, yes, she can go through walls, she can go through doors, but some areas of the house are warded by demons, and you need to solve those demons' puzzles to unlock the different areas of the house so that you can go into them. So you're very limited when you first start off. And this kind of guides you through the story, because the more you go through the house and solve the demons' different puzzles, and the more that you interact with the things your family has left behind, you start to unravel the mystery. Even with everything it kind of lays out for you, it can still be a little bit convoluted to keep up with the narrative. Once you get to the end of it, you're like, ah, okay, it all makes sense now. But as you're going through it, the game very much relies on that kind of gameplay and narrative that just leaves you guessing. And you're just like, why though? The whole time? Why? Just give me some kind of explanation. But it works. It helps set the tone as well, that you're never quite sure why you feel obliged to go the way you do. And it really pans out. There are two different endings, a good one and a bad one. Although I would argue that the good one is a questionable degree of good. a little iffy, if you ask me.
Good in quotes.
Yeah, it's better than the bad, but I wouldn't call it good. Not in that, oh, it's a bad ending, but as in like, whew, that could have went differently. but yeah, I really got soaked into this game, and I completed it, except for the one fucking glitched achievement. This is the game that has made me decide that I just need to like start protesting the unlock all achievements on Xbox.
Oh, I hate those.
I don't like them, but I've never particularly been annoyed by them so much as I am by this game, because it's worth 200 gamer score. 200. It's a fifth of the game.
Damn.
And it doesn't unlock. So that's, if you care about that, maybe wait until they patch it. It has been brought to the devs' attention. They do know it's broken. Apparently, they are trying to work on it. The art style for the game is fantastic. It almost looks like old pictures with just a little hint of illustrativeness to it.
Jordan says to sick Carnage on them.
Yeah, Carnage will get that shit fixed in a quickness, man. I was so annoyed. I was like, oh, I'm going to be the first to complete this, you motherfuckers. I will say it is Xbox Play Anywhere. Hallelujah. I have such mixed feelings on Play Anywhere, right? Like, when I like a game, I don't want it to be Play Anywhere because I want to be able to stack the achievements. But on the other hand, I was able to play this without having to fight with my husband for the Xbox because I just downloaded it and played it on my PC.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's perks. But also, I would have absolutely stacked this game if it hadn't been Play Anywhere and if that fucking unlock all achievements unlocked. That's, nope, throw it out the window now.
Hopefully they fix that one, but yeah. Sounds like you enjoyed this one. So for $10, what do you say?
For $10, it's a buy it. If you like the point and click kind of games, if you like supernatural stuff, if you like the creepy demon summoning type of shit like I do, then you're going to be on board with this one. It's a good one.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Round Out by Paugi Developed and
Nailed it.
Been a while since I got stuck that bad. developed and published by Lightwood Games, released December 15th on PS4, 16th on Xbox, 21st on the Switch for $7.99. That's right. Lightwood Games is releasing a game on all platforms basically simultaneously. So props to them for doing that, especially because Xbox is involved.
So good.
The latest Paugi game is a mashup of two popular word puzzles. It's a cross between Word Wheel and Crisscross. Yes, it wheelie is. Ha ha ha. Round Out takes fast and satisfying word farming action of Word Wheel and gives it a new visible goal to work towards, plus a free bad joke with every puzzle solved. Cole, tell us about Round Out by Paugi.
What the fuck is Word Wheel? Why don't I have this game? Round Out is pretty simple. It's in typical Paugi. Is that how you say it, right?
Yep.
Paugi? In typical Paugi fashion, I played a lot of these games recently, by the way. Then you have a series of different levels. This one has 120 of them. And if you click on one, any one, then you are presented with a puzzle. This one looks kind of like a crossword puzzle, except there are no clues and no numbers. It's just a layout for the words that you can find within the wheel at the bottom. So there will always be like one word that will use every letter on the wheel. And then the goal is to find as many other words to fill in the puzzle as you can. There are also bonus words that won't fit in the puzzle, but will still count. So your goal is to find as many of the words as you can. So if you have the word feelings, for example, then you would go in and put feel, you know, lay, things like that, and make words out of all the different letters. Pretty simple, straight to the point. I do have one gripe about these. This goes for all of the Paugi games, Paugi, however. My biggest gripe with all of them is that they don't number the puzzles. It's just gray if you've completed it, or gray if you haven't completed it, orange if you have. And I would like some kind of numbering system on them, because you can't play them out of order. And like, they don't unlock. They're all available from the jump, which is great. I think that's wonderful. But there's no like numbering system. So if you get frustrated with one and you skip ahead to it, to maybe you go to page 3 or 4, you want to go back and find the one you were working on later. You can't, because you don't remember which number it was. You just kind of got to remember there were 10 squares on the row and 3 rows, and hopefully I picked the right one. That's kind of a pain in the ass. I think it would be a lot easier if they just like numbered them in some kind of way. Other than that, everything else worked flawlessly and I had a blast with it. I love word games and anything that has you like spelling out words like this is my shit. And so I completed it really quickly. I actually did all 120 puzzles, even though I didn't have to for the achievements, because I was like, yes, give me. So I just kick back, 3 a.m., me and some letters, let's go. And I just had a good time.
Nice. And yeah. You got 120 awful jokes.
Yeah.
Like, I can't take my shadow anywhere nice. It always looks really shady.
Yeah. I blocked those out of memory because I was just like, oof.
That's my favorite part of Lightwood's releases are the bad jokes.
Yeah. At least they're committed to them.
Well, overall, $8 on Roundout by Paugi. What do you say?
I give it an easy buy. This was my favorite of all the Paugi games I've played.
Yeah, it looks really, really fun. I picked this one up. I didn't play it yet, but I am eager to jump into it, especially after your glowing review.
Yay!
And hopefully we'll get more Paugi games on Xbox soon. I'm thrilled that they're releasing them on Xbox. I hope they're doing well. Yeah. I hope that they're selling well, and hopefully they keep bringing more over.
Yeah, I've enjoyed all of them so far.
Yeah, they're good stuff. It's good stuff. Yeah, Roundout by Paugi, that one is. It's on all three platforms. It'll be hitting the Switch on the 21st, so keep your eyes peeled for that one, and only $8. One final game to talk about tonight is called When the Past Was Around, developed by Mojiken Studio and Togue Productions, published by Chorus Worldwide, released December 16th on the Switch, 17th on PS4, 18th on Xbox One for $8.49. When the Past Was Around is an adventure point-and-click puzzle game about love, moving on, letting go, and the joy and pain of everything in between. This sounds like a Cole game.
This is 100% a Cole game. It's very aesthetic. It's beautifully illustrated. I was absolutely in love with the look and feel and vibe and the music. Everything about this game just touches your soul, right? So I was very into it. You play as a girl named Ida. They don't ever say her name, so I'm guessing on that. I'm not very good at pronouncing names beyond Cole. That's why I stick with the four-letter name myself. So her name is Ida, and she meets Owl. I know this is going to sound weird. If we remember when I did the chicken detective game not too long ago, and I talked about how the animals in that were like anthropomorphic, but they were human from the neck down, and then they had whatever animal's head, right?
Yeah.
They've gone this approach for Owl in When the Past Was Around. It's a little off-putting at first. I never quite figured out why they did this. I think it's to make maybe the character more as just like a generic stand-in character that you could kind of cast your emotions onto. It's definitely a choice, but also you kind of just like accept it that it's Owl and Ida, and they meet when Ida is at a time in her life where she's a little on the blue side. She plays music. She plays violin, to be specific. And she hears Owl playing the violin, and she's drawn to him, and she falls in love with him. And then they have this relationship, and you take them through solving puzzles as you take them on dates to the beach and camping. And then life being what life is happens. And the whole point of the game is to teach you how to cope with what happens. And to experience it, I'm thinking about the scenes and like my eyes are like a little teary eyed. I'm like, oh no, I don't want to have to remember these parts because it's genuinely like an emotional game. Everything from how the music plays to just the way that the characters are presented in the different environments that you're solving puzzles in plays on your emotions and you know, hits you in the feels regarding their relationship. It's a beautiful story, but it's also heartbreaking, and it's definitely going to like hit you where it counts, which is a testament to it. I wasn't expecting. I knew it was going to be one of those like feely games, and that I was gonna be all emotional about it, but I didn't expect for a game that was this short to grip me as hard as it did. But it does. It just really draws you into these characters and their romance and their life together. and how you deal with life going the path that it inevitably goes. Yeah.
Sounds heavy.
Yeah.
Just a little, huh?
And it's just point and click and solving puzzles. I will say, puzzle-wise, not all of them are very intuitive. And it's not to a point you can't figure it out, but you're definitely going to struggle on a couple of them. Thankfully, there are guides out there if you do get stuck. There's always guides these days. If you search hard enough, you can find somebody who's beat it. So, there's guides. There are some missable achievements. But again, it's not anything you can't muster or manage. Also, it has chapter select, and I'm 100% down for anything that has chapter select.
Yeah, chapter select is always good.
If you're going to have something that's missable in a chapter and you're going to tie an achievement to it, but you better have some chapter select. So I was very, very happy to see that. But yeah, beautiful story, beautiful soundtrack, beautiful illustrations, and I really recommend this one.
Also, $8.49 for When the Past Was Around. What do you say?
Absolutely buy it. Absolutely.
Cool.
And then get some tissues with the extra money you saved. Like the dollar you saved from not paying $10 for it, because you're going to need some tissues.
That'd be funny if that's the reason why they went $8.49 instead of $9.99. You're going to need a pack of Kleenex.
Let's make it affordable. I'm down for that theory.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Not a long one, thankfully. No. Made it through.
Yeah, we did.
Nice, quick time.
Yeah.
Good shit. Jacob was Hooray. Here, so that was tolerable shit, I guess.
That was, it was a thing.
Yeah. Next episode is going to be our last episode of the year, and we're going to be taking a break. We're going to have a nice year-end spectacular with a bunch of our friends coming on, hanging out with us and chatting, talking about some of our favorite games of the year. We are going to have a small handful of reviews next episode as well, but this is mm-hmm. mainly it for the year. So what do you think? Another year done.
Another one in the books.
Next year is going to be eight.
In the books.
Yeah, this year has been fucking awful.
Yeah, 2020 has sucked ass. So, I'm hesitant to be optimistic about 2021 because we were all in 2019. We were like, this is garbage. Next year's got to be better. And here we fucking are.
Here we fucking are. Those are some good final words, huh? Here we fucking are.